On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
I want to talk about, for a couple of minutes, the mission of Mount Hope Church. Understand that that mission is what the church is called to do. And you and I are the church, right? Mission is what we are called to do. How many have ever seen the TV show or the movie Mission Impossible? You know, it always starts with what? A mission given, right? Is it Ethan? I think that's his name. Tom Cruise. You know, then there's a little self-destructive tape or something, but he's given a mission. It's made very clear, this is what we want you to do. This is what we want you to accomplish. Well, the scripture is very clear, really, on the mission of the church. And I'm not talking just Mount Hope Church. We are part of the universal church. And it's really a four-part mission. So I want us to be real clear on the mission of the church, what you and I are called to do, what we're called to accomplish in the world in which we live. How many of you know Jesus just didn't save us so that we could have a better self-centered life? Right? So this is our mission, whether you choose to accept it or not. You know. All right. The first part of our mission is that you and I were called to worship. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." When you and I worship God, what it helps us to do, it helps us to keep our priorities and our focus in order. We keep God being God and us being us and our problems being something very small and insignificant in the light of the big picture. We worship God through the praises of our lips. But really, more importantly, we worship God through the holiness and the purity of our lives on a daily basis. The second thing we're called to do, second part of the mission, is that of evangelism. I don't like the word evangelism because of the association, you know, I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm afraid to share my faith. I'm not going to stand on a street corner and have everybody laugh at me, mock me. And you know, we tend to have these weird concepts of evangelism. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Let me ask you this. What loving person would not share his food with a starving individual? What loving Christian would not share his food with a starving person? Right? I'd like to think we would all do that, right? But yet the scripture says here that the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Our faith in Christ produces a fruit that is life-giving. And there's a world out there that is spiritually starving to death. Let's share it freely. And I don't mean force-feed somebody who didn't ask for it and who doesn't want it. You see, if we live out our life the way that Jesus intends for us to live it out, it's going to be fruitful, it's going to be life-giving, and it's going to be very attractive. And people are going to wonder, man, what? There's something about you. What makes you tick? I remember the guy that led me to Christ. All I knew was that he had something that I didn't, and what I didn't have, and he had is what I've been looking for. And you know, I asked him, I said, show me, and tell me. And within just a week or two of sharing his faith with me, I accepted Christ. There's a lot of hungry people out there, not looking to be force-fed, but there's a lot of spiritually hungry people who are looking for Christians who are leading a fruitful life. They're willing to listen to us. Let's not be afraid to speak up and just share our testimony, okay? The third part of the church mission is that of discipleship. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now, the church has been given the responsibility to help believers grow up in their faith, to be disciples, to be a disciplined follower. It's one thing to be a convert. A convert is someone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, right? That does not make them a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined follower, someone who follows Jesus day after day. They recognize distractions for what they are, and they continue to grow and to mature in the faith. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But understand, the church cannot give the Christian, the convert, what they do not want. Discipleship is a personal choice. Here at Mount Hope Church, we can provide classes for you. We can provide opportunities for you to grow and to mature in the faith. But it's your decision whether you involve yourself in these classes, whether you involve yourself in opportunities to grow and mature in the faith. And I certainly hope that the church isn't the only place that you apply yourself spiritually, but there has to be a daily application of growing in our faith. And again, I'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes. But the fourth and final part of the mission is that of compassion. 1 John 3:17, he says, "Whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" If you read the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus, the Bible says that he looked at the multitudes and he felt compassion for them, and then he fed them. Or he saw someone who needed healing and he felt compassion. Compassion so often compelled Jesus to get involved in that person's situation. As Christians, a part of our Christ-like character should be that of compassion. When we see somebody hurting, someone struggling, someone in need, and we have the ability and the means, whether it's time, whether it's finances, whatever it might be, to help that person, the Christ-like part of us, compassion should well up. And we do what we can to get involved. That's why you see so many people around the world, you know, they will go to troubled areas and devote their lives to compassionate ministries. It's because it's the Christ-like character in them coming out. And I believe that helping those in need is one of the greatest expressions of God's love that's available to us. Aren't you glad people were compassionate toward you when you needed it? Right, you know, you're down and you feel kicked around and you know you're discouraged, you're beaten down, whatever, and all of a sudden somebody comes and just shows you love and they show you compassion, they help you maybe in practical ways. Let's be the hands and feet of Christ and do that. Jesus said that those who demonstrate compassion in His name, that there's a reward for it. He says, "You know what, Mandy, if you just give somebody a cup of water in my name, there's going to be a reward in heaven for that simple act." Imagine a life that is devoted to compassionate caring for others. And compassion is a part of caring. And that's one thing I just want to see so much in the DNA of Mount Hope Church, is that we care for other people. We care for fellow Mount Hopers as well as those who are lost, those who are hurting. You know, one trend that is happening across the church world today is a declining attendance in the church. And if you look around, you'll see several Mount Hopers that you rarely see here anymore. Care enough about them to call and say, "Man, I've missed you. Are you okay? That's compassion. And I want that to be in the DNA of our church. Is, you know, as a pastor, I can call and make the professional call. But I think oftentimes it means more coming from you. Man, I missed you. Because it's not your job. You understand what I'm saying? Extend that care and that compassion. I'd encourage you. Think about some people you haven't seen for a while here at this church. Call them. Drop them a card. And I know some of you do. Pam McCready, you rock. So in a nutshell, that is the mission of the church. We are the church. We are the local church, but we're part of the universal church. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. When you run into a Christian, these are the four things that every Christian around the world is to walk out. We are people who worship God. Worshiping God keeps us focused and centered. It keeps our priorities in order. We're to be people of evangelism. And by that, I mean is that we're willing to share our testimony and tell other people what Jesus did for us. Unashamedly. Because there's a lot of hungry people out there, spiritually speaking. And third is discipleship. It is our responsibility, individually, to make the effort to grow and to mature in our faith. It's not enough to accept Christ as Savior and Lord and become a convert. I mean, it is enough as far as salvation and going to heaven. But I tell you what, to grow up in the faith and be a disciplined follower of Christ and to mature, that is what God fully intended to happen. And the quality of your life here and now will be so much better. And then we have to be people of compassion. You know, absolutely people of compassion. So that's the mission of the church here in Portland, as well as around the world. I've been to many parts of the world and ministered in churches, and it's the same. It is the same wherever you go. These four: worship, evangelism, discipleship, and compassion. Now what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes and share with you the vision of Mount Hope Church. And what is the difference between mission and vision? Mission is what we're called to do. Okay, you with me? Vision is how we're going to get it done. It's how we're going to do it. And again, the mission is the same all around the world. We're to be worshipers, soul winners, disciple makers, and agents of compassion. But how this gets done will vary. Because every town, every state, every country is different. And how you accomplish the mission will be determined a lot by where you live and the culture that surrounds you. Where the mission answers the question of what, vision answers the question of how. Many years ago, this is the vision that God gave us for our church. And that is walking together in kingdom community. And I want to break this vision up into three parts, okay? Part number one is that of walking together, okay? This is unity of direction. It's moving in that same direction. Dan Seal and I have been doing some walking this summer on the river trail, and we agree upon what direction we want to go. And you know what? And we walk together, and we talk, and we have just a wonderful time of fellowship with one another. But if he decided to go this way and I decided to go that way, we'd have to shout at each other, and pretty soon we wouldn't be able to hear each other. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So part of the vision is let's walk together. Let's walk in doctrinal unity. Let's, you know, no church is perfect, but you know, we're part of a small part of something that is global, the church. Let's walk out our faith together. It's a unity of direction. The second aspect of this vision I want to point out is, I call it, we walking together in kingdom community. But the word kingdom, this is what I mean by it, is that we walk according to the word and will of God. Okay? In other words, our values, our morals, our doctrines, our beliefs are all rooted and grounded in the teaching of Scripture. We're not walking according to your opinion or my opinion, but this is what the Bible says. And so we believe it, and we adjust our thinking to line up with what the Bible teaches. We don't try to twist the Bible to make it line up with how we think. This represents a unity of faith. Psalm 119:101 says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. And it is an effort at times to restrain our feet. We're walking together, and all of a sudden, and this is the benefit of walking together, is one of us starts, our feet start going toward the ditch. And the other one says, hey, no, come on, Charlie, come on. That's not good. Come on. And we iron sharpens iron. We keep each other on track and on course. But again, our values are the same because our belief is in the same, and that's in the teaching of Scripture. Because if it's not rooted in Scripture, what else is there other than opinion? You with me? And we're seeing what... Well, never mind, I won't go there. Okay. Walking together in kingdom, then I put the third part of that is community. What do I mean by community? I'm talking about doing life together. This represents a unity of purpose. So in our vision, walking together in kingdom community, I'm talking about unity of direction, unity of faith, and unity of purpose. And we're going to spend the remainder of our time together really kind of walking out the vision, and this is what it looks like. Acts chapter 2 is the blueprint for the modern church today. I believe that. I don't care the ups and downs of culture, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is, and His Word doesn't change. So let's read Acts 2, 41 through 47, and then I'm going to come back and show you what walking out our vision looks like in a very practical sense. Verse 41, it says, so then those who had received his word, Peter just got done preaching a sermon, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now let me just kind of give you the backstory. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, walked the earth for 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven, and he told the disciples to go and wait until they receive power from on high. They had a prayer meeting. Spirit of God fell. That's recorded in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And then Peter launched right into a sermon, okay? And that sermon, we're coming basically to the end of the sermon. And it says, verse 41, so then those who had received his word, his sermon, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What we're witnessing in Acts chapter 2 is the birth of the church as you and I know it. All right? And the first sermon that Peter gave, we see that the 3,000 came to Christ. So walking out the vision, it begins, number one, with salvation. Peter preached in verse 41, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added. You see, at salvation, your salvation, my salvation, every Christian becomes a part of the universal church. And a part of the universal, the global church, is expressed on a local level. Mount Hope, Portland, Church of the Nazarene, St. Pat's, so on and so forth. But what I think is interesting is note three things that happened that led up to this great influx of conversions. How many would just love to see hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ? Well, we see in Acts 1, the church prayed. Jesus said, go wait until you receive power from on high. And they went and prayed. And I would have loved to have been in that prayer meeting. I think that they were attentive. I think that they were passionate. And I think they had no idea what to expect. And as a result of their praying, the Holy Spirit moved mightily. And the Holy Spirit was poured out in power on the church. And then the third thing we see is that God's word was taught. We can say we want to see hundreds and thousands come to Christ, but are we willing to commit to the prayer element of it? Hello? We want people to come to Christ, but are we willing to pay the price of just getting on our face and crying out to God for the salvation of souls? Or are we too busy doing other things and too distracted or just too indifferent to not even pray? How do we expect a move of God if we don't pray? So it all begins walking out the vision with salvation. People who are not saved are not going to buy into this vision, and they're going to have absolutely no interest in walking it out. It begins at salvation becoming a part of the church. The second thing we see is that of discipleship. These 3,000 people who became Christians started to be discipled. And what did that look like? Verse 42 and 3 says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Again, a disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ. And a disciple is faithful in four areas of their life. They position themselves to hear truth, to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, is that they have fellowship with one another. Now, fellowship is kind of a churchy word. They loved hanging out with other Christians. How's that? Because they recognize that if they hang out too much with the world, it's easier for the world to influence them than they influence the world. There is value in hanging out with one another as Christians. Third is that there is communion. Communion centers us. It reminds us of Jesus' death and his resurrection and the fact that he's returning again for his bride, the church, you and I. And fourth was what? Prayer. Prayer. The church prayed. Ever since we've opened as a church, we've had prayer meeting. Or we've had prayer, early morning prayer. And Rob, who oversees our worship, and I'm really clear with Rob. The best way to describe it, I am obnoxiously jealous of those 30 minutes from 8:45 to 9:15 that this sanctuary, you know, Rob has to get ready for the worship, and there's a lot of practical stuff that has to be done, but from 8:45 to 9:15, I am obnoxiously jealous that prayer takes place in the sanctuary. I don't want chit-chat, visit. If you want to do that, go out in the family room. When we come to pray, let's pray. Let's not talk about prayer. Let's not read about prayer. Let's pray. Let's call out to God. And we need to be a praying church. If we want to see results, if we want to see an outpouring of God's Spirit, we have to be a praying church. Well, you know, I pray at home, and that's good. But there is value, and there is something powerful that happens when believers come together and they pray together and they believe God together for an outpouring of His Spirit, for lives to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is a part of discipleship. Commitment to these four areas will lead to spiritual growth, health, and maturity. And I believe that more than any other thing I'm going to say today is that this is where Christians today are stumbling. Because there is a lack of commitment to these four areas. I call these the spiritual disciplines. Some today have become distracted from these disciplines, and as a result, they're receding from the faith. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. Then our priorities are out of order. Be honest. I don't have the heart to do it. I don't have the desire to do it. That's a good place to start in your prayer. God, give me a desire to want to pray, a desire to want to just bask in your presence. In verse 43, it says, "And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." We want to come to a church service where the presence of God is so overwhelming and have that, walk out with that sense of awe. We want that. Who doesn't want that? But you notice it was those who were walking out the four disciplines of the faith that were experiencing that powerful presence of God. I don't believe that a prayerless church can walk in consistently the power and the presence of a holy, mighty God. The third part of the vision, first is salvation. We have to get saved. That begins, that's where it all begins. Then discipleship is walking in the disciplines of the faith. Third is unity. Verse 44 says, and notice the progression of these scriptures. "And all those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common." Spiritual unity is one of the fruits of genuine salvation and discipleship. Let me say it one more time. Spiritual unity is one of the fruits of genuine salvation and discipleship. You can get people from halfway around the world that don't know each other, and then all of a sudden you meet them for the first time and you go and you shake their hand and you talk to them for 10 minutes and you feel like you've known them for a lifetime. Why is that? Because there is a connection, a spiritual unity, because you're walking in a manner of discipleship and you're growing in the faith and there's a connection. Nancy and I went and picked up Pastor Daniel Soa from the airport yesterday. Came in from Ghana, West Africa. Some of you saw him this morning. He's ministering in Lansing, and he'll be here next Sunday to preach. But there was an immediate connection. And that happens. There's that sense of unity when you walk with people in a like precious faith. Spiritual unity produces Christian community, a place that we can walk out our faith together. The local church is often referred to as a church family or a faith community. Now understand, spiritual unity produces Christian community. It doesn't mean we're exclusive and it doesn't mean we're a clique. All right? We welcome anybody and everybody that wants to be a part of the church family. And we have a life outside of church. I hope you love your families who aren't part of Mount Hope Church or maybe even a part of any church. And go and be a light in the world to the people around you. But come, and when it comes to walking out your faith, surround yourself with people of like precious faith where you can encourage one another and build up one another in the faith so that you walk it out together. How many of you know it's easy to, Dan and I, when Dan and I go walking, it's a whole lot easier for me to walk with Dan than it is on my own. Because when I'm walking on my own, I am focused on my aching joints and getting tired and all that kind of stuff. But I'm with Dan, man, we're talking all the time. And before I know it, we're done. I'm going, that's a piece of cake. Well, walking out our faith is the same way. Is that we can encourage one another and build up one another. And Pastor Daniel, on the way home, what do you see happening in the church today? What do you think God is saying to the church? I'm just, poor guy, he hasn't even recovered from his trip, and I'm bombarding him with questions. But when we walk out our faith together, it is easier to do it than to try to be a lone ranger and a lone stranger. Ooh, I like that. Let's be a church family. Let's be a faith community. And let's welcome people into it. Number four, of walking out the vision, the fourth thing we should notice is that of generosity. Verse 45, it says, and they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. I believe one significant characteristic of the maturing Christian is that of generosity. I don't believe that you can mature in the faith without being generous. Either with your time, your talents, finances, if God blesses you that way. To have a generous spirit shows a maturing faith. God has a giving and a generous nature, and so do those who become like him. If we are Christ-like, then part of our Christ-like nature will be that of generosity and wanting to give and to bless other people. And I tell you what, that's one thing that I have seen over the years in this church. We have so many Mount Hopers that are so generous with their time, so generous with their talent, so generous with their finances. Around Christmas time, and even throughout the year, I'll have different people come up and say, hey, here's some money. Would you make sure so-and-so gets it? Don't let them know it came from me. And people wanting to bless other people. You may say, well, I don't have a lot of money to bless other people with. Well, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And that really shares with you what generosity is all about. Paul was writing the Corinthians. He says, the churches of Macedonia begged us. They begged us for the opportunity to give. And it said they did it with joy. Oh, by the way, those churches were mired in poverty. But they begged for the opportunity to be generous and to give. Now, did they give a lot? Paul didn't say. But it's not really about how much we give, it's about the heart in which we give it. And Mount Hopers, so many Mount Hopers, to me that tells me I'm seeing a growing, maturing church because so many are so generous. The fifth way we walk out the vision, there's a sense of what I call commonality. Verse 46. It says, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So what we see is outside the church setting, people did life together. It was a faith community within the larger community. They would eat together. They would share meals together. They visited each other's homes. Their kids played together. They went golfing together. They did Pinterest together. Erlene's excited. Again, the church was a community within a community. It was not a clique. It was not a club. It was open to everyone. And it's just people wanted to live their daily life with people of like precious faith. People who were on the same path, walking in the same direction, rather than doing it on our own where we can risk getting distracted and getting off track, let's walk it with other people. And we can encourage one another. We can it makes the walk and the journey so much better. I love it. We've had so many people over the years who've come here, who've met, who are now married. And just to see the relationship that has formed, and it blesses me to hear about people who've come to this church, and different individuals and families, how they've developed deep, meaningful relationships that take place outside this church. They go out to eat together, they hang out together, they watch each other's kids, all that kind of stuff. That is that sense of commonality that was there in the early church. The sixth way we walk out the vision, again, is that of worship. And you'll notice many of these things are walking out the vision, are really mission at heart. Verse 47, it says, and they were praising God. All these people who, they got saved and they grew in their faith through discipleship, and they walked with a unity of faith and a unity of direction, and there's a generosity among them to make sure nobody was lacking, and there's a commonality is that they just enjoyed life together outside of the church service and everything, and they were just so grateful for the life that God had given them that they couldn't stop praising Him. The quality of life led to a deep sense of gratitude expressed through worship, which, by the way, gratitude is another characteristic of the maturing Christian. Some people you can get around, and all they do is just complain. This is wrong. That's wrong. Pastor Daniel, I don't know how many times I've heard him say so far, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for being able to stay at your house. One of his bags didn't come in, and we stopped at Steve Fowler's last night, and Steve lined him up with some clothes for church this morning, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. And that attitude of gratitude is characteristic of a Christ-like nature. And let's focus on all the things that God has given us and blessed us with. The next thing, the seventh thing that we see in this church was that they had favor. It says, in having favor with all the people. The Christians were liked by the larger community. You know why they were liked by the larger community? Because Christians are good for the community in which they live. They care about the community. They're servant-hearted. They're generous. They let their light shine in a way that they are a blessing. Now, again, our culture is shifting in a way that is villainizing Christians, but it doesn't change the fact that Christians are a positive influence in any community in which they live, right? And as a result, these Christians here, and the devil doesn't like it when we get favor. And he'll try to raise people up against us, to come against us in spiritual warfare. But understand that once we come to Christ and we are discipled and we walk in unity and generosity and commonality and we're worshipers and seen through our gratitude, that there's favor. There is favor with people around us. And then the final thing, verse 47, is salvations. Verse 47, last part of it says, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In other words, you have this 3,000 people who got saved and they became discipled and they started walking down this path together, one of unity and generosity and sharing and sense of purpose, and they laughed together, and they enjoyed life together, and they wept together, and they played together, they prayed together, and the world standing back going, what is this group all about? And they look and they say, you know what? That's what I've been searching for all my life. I don't know what they got, but I know I ain't got it. And if I ain't got it, I want to go talk to them and see what it's all about. And that's when we need to be willing to share our testimony and what God has done in our life. That God was adding to their numbers day by day by day, those who are being saved. And this is my heart for Mount Hope Church. Our mission, if we choose to accept it, we're people of worship, evangelism, discipleship, and compassion. That's a given. Globally, anywhere you go in the world, that's what the church is called to do. That's the mission of the church. But our vision, how we walk it out practically here in Portland, Michigan, we do it by being part of a faith community. We walk together in kingdom community. It begins at salvation. It grows through discipleship. It's furthered through unity and generosity and commonality. There is such a deep underlying sense of gratitude for all that God has done that there is just this sense of worship. Don't you know all the problems in the world? You know, and that's tough for me to balance because I love the news. I like staying on top of what's happening in the world. And it's not good stuff. And if we watch too much of that, we can lose our sense of gratitude and appreciation and you know, live like a sad sack. We're victors. We have to remember that, all right? And I think it's important we stay up on what's happening in the world, but at the same time, remember what God has done for us, that we are a living, breathing, walking testimony to the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And as we do that, people are going to be drawn to us. That's favor. And then as a result, other people, they're going to see us and say, you know what? The life I've been living doesn't offer what you're experiencing. How can I be a part of it? And we share Christ with them, and then they get saved, and they begin that wonderful journey of discipleship, and they grow in the unity and as part of the faith community. So that's my story, folks, and I'm sticking to it. Walking out the vision together, walking together in kingdom community, walking together, same direction, kingdom, and submission to the word and will of God, community, we just do life together to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just awaken us to that sense of mission that you've called us to. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to say yes to the mission. Lord, that we would be faithful to try to fulfill that mission. And Lord, as you have brought us to be a part of this local church body, that we would walk out the vision of this body, that we would just walk in a sense of unity of faith and direction, unity of purpose. And may many, many come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a result. And we ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We are going to conclude with that. Rob's going to do a song, but you're free to...